Humans. Movement. Radio. Woman's. Movement. Radio.
Welcome to Woman's Movement Radio Show. I'm your host, Janae Eisenstrass. I would love to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to our show today. As always, I will be speaking to women all over the world about their business, love, and lifestyle, bringing you inspiration, motivation, by always aspiring to keep you informed, inspired, and incredibly successful. We have a great show planned for all of you today. When we return, we will be talking about the natural woman. Are you a woman who is serious about starting an online business that will allow you to create sustainable wealth and growth? Well, we've done the research. Let us introduce you to some of the best business professionals that have researched numerous business concepts and provide you with great free advice for developing a sustainable business online. Visit us at womensbusinesssourceonline.com. As I stated before the break, today's topic is about the natural woman. As women, we like to feel beautiful. The woman's beauty industry is a mega billion-dollar juggernaut that blankets the modern world as we know it. Still, there's more to beauty than cosmetics, clothes, perfumes, and accessories. So what is a natural woman? The definition is wide and deep as the person themselves. Despite any preconceived notions, natural women are not a mystery. They are women who are comfortable in who and what they are. They can be versatile. They can be driven. They might choose to be a homebody, a factory worker, or a model. No matter what they are and do, natural women are always themselves. In my opinion, they are the most beautiful women in the world. And why I feel this way is, I believe natural women have an aura about them. They find comfort even in their own insecurities. They don't flaunt, "I am who I am." It flows effortlessly from them. They are not afraid of their emotions. They will even share a laugh over their flaws. Meanwhile, they can be aesthetically pleasing to the eye. They are not dependent on materialism to solidify their beauty. They see materialism for what it really is, an accessory instead of necessity. Now on to our show. Today's show, we have Yemi Stephanie Wellhauser. She is the founder of Shakira Natural Tips and creator of A Celebration of Curls. When we return, we will have a nice little talk with Yemi Stephanie about her business, love, and lifestyle. Life Masters Now Success Coaching was designed to provide you with the necessary resources for you to master your life right now. We can show you how to make transformational changes in your life and business. Let us teach you how to move forward in progression, prosperity, and power. Visit us at lifemastersnow.com.
And we're back now. I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Yemi Stephanie Wellhauser. As I stated before, she is the founder of Shakira Natural Tips. Hi, Yemi. How are you?
Hi, Janine. I'm good.
Great. I'm so glad that you were able to be on Women's Movement Radio Show today.
Likewise.
Well, let's get started. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Shakira Natural Tips?
So Shakira Natural Tips basically looks at products that are 100% pure. So in terms of cosmetics and lifestyle, what I try and advocate is for 100% pure, no parabens, no petroleum in products. When I speak about products, I'm talking about products for the hair, for the skin. So that's the whole basis and the whole foundation of Shakira Natural Tips.
That's awesome. What inspired you to do this?
Everything I do basically has to do with a personal experience. So for me, about a year and a half, it suddenly dawned on me that I was suffering from baldness on the hair, because sometimes you're either in denial or oblivious to your problems. I always got to escape from facing that reality, because I would go from week to week. You know, you would often, you know, hear me say that. So I would wear weaves and wigs back to back. You know, I can remember meeting Paul, my husband, and he said, you know, why do you keep, you know, investing in weaves? Why do you keep wearing weaves? And people are saying, you have no hair. So that, you know, it hit me, and I had to, you know, step back and, you know, process what he was saying and realize that, you know, people are saying you have no hair. The reality is I did, you know, I had no hair. So it was an embarrassment to go to the salon because, you know, when the weave has been taken off, people see your actual hair. And something had to happen. Late last year, something had to happen. I had to face my hair. I wanted to step with my own hair and not somebody else's hair. And, you know, right, I work a lot in a lot of trade shows. I talk to a lot of women. I love what a particular lady said to me this past week. And she said, you know, you spend a lot of time on false hair. You spend a lot of time on products for that false hair. And it dawned on me late last year, you know, I wanted to wear my own hair. I wanted to look at my own hair. And I wanted to go natural. And when I say go natural, I wanted to pick natural products. You know, I don't want to call it an obsession. But I wanted to go the natural route and see what results I get from picking natural products. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it's fine. It's actually funny because my dad is a medical doctor, and the first thing I should have done was go to a medical doctor and find out if there was something wrong with me. But for me, late September 2011, you know, I just chose a natural lifestyle and start, you know, picking natural products and see how the journey goes. So I did that for about 6 months. You know, I've been doing this now for slightly over a year, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the amount of hair I have on my head compared to about a year ago. So the whole basis for the blog, you know, coming back to your question, is, you know, it's always personal for me. I find that if something is not personal for you, people don't connect. Yep. You know, you're selling a concept, you're selling an idea, and maybe because that idea is profitable, or, you know, a lot of people are hung over a particular idea, but when you have a personal connection, people, you know, buy real people. People can relate more to real people. So that's the whole basis of the blog started with me, my own journey. You know, where I was at that particular time, I wanted to reach as many people as possible, or as many women as possible that were going through, you know, that same problem.
Well, I think that you're right about what you said. It is personal. It is a journey. And I think, you know, I know in the Black community, we make jokes about, well, you can't talk to a Black woman about her hair. And it's just, for my personal experience with why I went natural is that it's just, how much time are you going to spend on, it's not even about the weaving for me, it's about the relaxing. The relaxing, we're actually putting chemical on our skin to make our hair straight. Mm-hmm. And it's the relaxing one, which a lot of women, and I know that a lot of Black women that are listening are going to be like, don't talk to me about my hair. I'm going to relax my hair if I want to. And that's fine. It's your prerogative. It's just, I want them to be conscious of the fact that what is the motivation for you straightening your hair? Who told you that your hair needed to be straight? See, my hair is naturally wavy, and I didn't even need, when I really think back on it, I didn't even need to relax my hair. Like, that was the humorous part for me, Remy, is that I actually didn't even need to straighten my hair. It's one thing to do it with a flat iron. There's another thing to do it to chemicals. Exactly. And I'm glad that your company actually embraces the natural, all of the products are natural. And I'm assuming that means all of them are man-made. There's not even preservatives, parabens, nothing.
It's important that when you put something on the market that you adhere to the laws of that particular place. So if you're putting, you know, something out in North America, there has to be preservatives. That's where the question of 100% natural comes in. That's when you begin to really question that particular concept. Now, there are preservatives. I haven't come out on my blog. So people I may have come out before this airs. But I haven't come out on my blog to say, you know, I'm trying to launch my own brand. Because when we were speaking a couple of weeks ago, you know, a few weeks ago, I was telling you I'm working towards producing my own brand. Well, that brand, you know, has come out. I'm selling a few of the things I would, you know, use myself.
Yep.
When people, you know, met me about a year ago, they saw the state of the hair. And then they walk into the store. We have a store in the dance floor, you know, in Toronto. So they would walk into the store. They would go, "You've got to be kidding! What are you doing?" And basically what I was doing was incorporating a lot of Ayurvedic herbs into my routine. So I stopped shampooing. You know, yes, I don't shampoo. I don't believe in the concept of shampoo. Mm-hmm. The reason being, I always say when you read ingredients, if there's something that you cannot pronounce, drop it.
It's so true.
If you're confused about something, you know, write down the name of that ingredient. You know, Google is amazing. Go on Google, research. It makes you a much more informed consumer, because at the end of the day, you're voting with your wallet. And if you want to, you know, vote with your wallet, at least pick something that's beneficial to you, your family, you know, or friends. You know, if you have to, you know, speak to friends about a particular product. So if you're confused about a particular name or you don't understand it, research. It takes a few seconds. You know, I don't shampoo based on the fact that I'm not comfortable with a lot of ingredients, you know, put in shampoos. And when you think about shampoos, you know, many years ago, women did not shampoo. So the concept of shampoo is relatively new, you know, and yet they had amazing hair. So what are we doing? You know, what are we doing wrong? You know, I would like to say, so I don't shampoo. I do cleanse the hair. I do a lot of co-washing. Co-washing being using my conditioner to wash my hair. I believe a lot in using the tools that you've been given. So I use my hands a lot, you know, in terms of friction to remove dirt from the scalp. So I do a lot of co-washing. I cleanse once a month using a natural soap. So one of the items I produce is a no-poo raw black soap cleanser.
I love that black soap.
I love it. So the shampoo is based on black soap coming from West Africa. The preservatives inside the black soap are used. I'm using something from North America, from the back of a tree, to preserve the shampoo. You know, my motto is always treat your natural products the same way you would treat your food.
Well, this is it. And exactly what you just said there, Yemi. What my motto is that if I can't even put it in my body in heavy consumption, if I can't and take it in via my mouth, it doesn't need to be anywhere near my body.
Exactly. It's just never, you know, whatever you put on your skin goes in. You know, it's the same thing. You know, whatever you can't eat, don't put on your skin. It mm-hmm. all goes in. So it's the same way we need to treat cosmetics. And if you buy any of my products, I keep saying don't store it in the house expecting to store for a year.
Yeah.
It's all natural.
I've even taken it as far as I will not, unless I have a photo shoot or I have a television appearance, I actually don't even wear makeup at all in my day to day. And the makeup that I do wear if I do have to wear makeup in my day to day, I only will use vegan based, products, and I've had to seek them out. I have a good contact out of California for that, but I did have to seek them out. But, those are the products that I use. And all I keep, cause women ask me all the time is that, well, I get asked all the time, how old are you? You look so young. Well, part of why I look young is because I don't put products on my face that are toxic. And I personally, in my opinion, I look younger without makeup, but that's just my opinion.
I think most women, but you know, it's also conditioning, and it's also something that you've been brought up with. It's not easy. It's not easy to change routines. It's not easy. Like this is it's not a new message to some, but to some people, it is a new message, you know, especially when you talk about cosmetics and the fact that you're using vegan based, you know, like one of the brand I'm using for cosmetics is 100% pure.
Yep.
You know, my day to day basis, I do not, you know, wear makeup except there's a fellowship, like you said, except there's something official. That's when you see me with makeup. And even many times, you know, sometimes when I have to go, for official gatherings, I don't wear makeup, you know, at all. So, but for some people, it's a completely new concept, and it's all about processing, you know, what we're saying, because a lot of people would go, you've got to be kidding. Many people are hung on MAC.
Oh, they love that. And I find it interesting that when they start talking to me about that, they're like, and my biggest question was, is that when they do talk about that particular brand, I'm thinking to myself, that brand has, for where makeup has evolved to, it's really become the wet and wild of makeup. It's not even like a good quality brand that you should want to place on your face. Even if you're not into what you and I are into, like holistic and into using natural products, but even if you're not using natural products, I just don't even understand the concept behind that. Like I would still be looking at more, brands that are more cultivated.
Exactly. But believe me, a lot of people don't know. Some people don't know. Some people don't know where to look. It's a whole new concept.
It's definitely a whole new concept. And when I remember having a few conversations with women recently, and one woman was very adamant about the fact that, why are you talking about, why don't you relax your hair? You should want to relax your hair. You should be promoting this. And why am I open to wearing my hair naturally? And I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't I want to be open to wearing my hair naturally? This is what I was born with. This is what I was born with. Now, I know that there's women even in, do this myself, where I don't, because of some of the frequent photo shoots or the frequent, television appearances, you can't, like, I may have to pop on a lace wig because it took so long for me to grow out my hair. I don't want flat irons or heat anywhere near my natural hair on a frequent basis. So I don't have a problem with that, but the chemicals I do have a problem with.
And it's okay to put on a wig. You know, sometimes it's okay to change up the look, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. The most important thing is looking after your own.
Yeah. And that's it. And it's owning who you are. I do not identify, even if I do wear lace wigs, that is not, I understand that that's changing up the look. It is not who I am, and I'm not using it to hide. I do not wear makeup because I'm looking to wear a mask to hide. I wear makeup because I'm a girl and I'm feminine and I want to feel a little bit sexy at times and I want to do little things that are different. And that's why I wear makeup. But I am just as confident walking out on the street without makeup as I am with makeup. And that's how I operate. And if whoever doesn't like it, tough. What you see is what you get.
Exactly. And the whole thing is being comfortable with who you are. It's about being, you know, it's a lot of confidence. And I find being able to step up with your own hair and without makeup, it's a lot of confidence. It takes a lot of confidence for some.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of self-esteem issues, a lot of insecurity. You wonder about, you know, what people are going to say when you actually step out with your kinks.
Well, and that's it. And you saw that picture that I recently posted I think a week ago. That lady, she posted that on her site. But why I posted that picture was I was getting ready for bed. I had on no makeup. And no one ever sees my hair wavy. I have to come and find out more about your products because I need to figure out how I can tame the frizz, because there's no product I have ever found on the shelf that can tame a frizz properly.
Have you tried mayonnaise?
No, I don't. Since I'm like a raw foodist vegan, I actually stay away from like all animal.
All animal.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm very much like eggs. I don't do eggs, dairy, none of that. It's strictly, I am raw. I am raw. I may even go as far to have cooked food on occasion, but I am raw.
No, good for you. You know, it's, you know, the way the world is going, it's much, much better to be raw. You know, the way the world is going and the way meat is raised, and, you know, that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, it is a discussion for another day. And, yeah, I mean, I grew up in Guelph, Ontario, and I still reside here. And it has always been a green, holistic community. And we are surrounded by farms. So there's butchers. Like, even here, a lot of the meats are, you know, raised in a different way than going to a grocery store and purchasing them off of the shelf. But at the end of the day, once I went raw, I could, like, even the taste of meat, it bothers me. It's a turn off to me. And I'm fine. Like, the rest of my family does. And even my children, I never said that they could not eat it. If they would decide that they want to transition, that's their choice. But for me, this is the way that I am now.
Exactly. And, you know, I do eat meat. If I crave meat, I do eat meat. It's not a staple in my routine. You know, if you go on my Facebook page, you would often hear me say, if you have to choose meat, go grass-fed.
Yep.
Please choose grass-fed meat.
Yep.
You know, if you have to eat meat. But on a day-to-day basis, I eat a lot of fish. And, you know, I'm not raw, but I eat a lot of fish. A lot of fish is incorporated into my diet. I eat a lot of vegetables, and I eat a lot of fruits.
And I was, what people don't realize, well, the people that do know me, is I was a big meat eater. The only thing for me is that I discovered very late last year, meat does not like my body. And I just was not able to digest it properly, and it was really affecting my health. And finally, when I made the transition in late January of 2012, I started just being vegetarian, partially raw, I would say vegan. I started with veganism, which I never thought I would have been able to do at all. And I just transitioned. I transitioned into doing raw because it just was, and I started to feel better. It was like, I felt great. Like I couldn't even, my emotions, like I'm an even keel person to begin with, but even from an emotional standpoint, I found for me that everything was just, I felt like I was able to operate more clearly. Sleeping was better. Exercise, strength, everything all around was better. And that was the interesting thing, is that we've been conditioned, like what you said, it always comes back to the conditioning. You know, we've been taught in our society that you have to have, well, if you don't eat meat, you have to have protein. Like, where are you going to get your protein? Where are you
going to
do that?
There's so many things that have protein.
There's so many things.
Like meat.
And it's just even with women, when we're talking about with hair or natural products or anything, women are so conditioned into believing that we need the mask. We need to straighten our hair. And Black women especially, we've been inundated with a lot of this image of we should look a certain way or in order to be accepted. And that's where you're right. It comes back to people accepting who they are and knowing. And a part of it is knowing who they are and where they come from. If you don't know who you are, you can't stand firmly in that because you just don't know where you come from.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You can't stand firmly. And, you know, I can remember looking for a job. My boss might probably be, you know, listening to this this broadcast. Well, I can remember looking for a job and about a few weeks ago, you know, yes, my husband owns a store, but I love to write, you know, I love to write. And speaking about lifestyle, like I was off writing for about 5 years. I can remember as a child, I would write things, you know, I would win awards. There was a lot of recognition, but I came off writing. When I met Paul, I joined Paul's business and I just took a break with writing. I would write a lot of the marketing materials. I really enjoy marketing as well, but it's not the same as actually sitting down to write. So about a year ago, my sister visited and she said, "What's wrong with you?" Mm-hmm. "By the way, why have you stopped to writing?" You know, and I said, you know, the store and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And she said, "No, if you take an hour of your day and you sit down and you write, you know, it's something for you." Right. So I sat down, I thought about it. She made a big deal about it. And I said, "You know what? Start writing." Yeah, I love my sister. I respect her. It's important to me what she thinks. So I began writing the blog, you know, and Paul would look at me and wonder what is wrong with you, you know, but I would write, every few weeks I would, you know, put out, you know, a new article. My editor is Paul, you know, I'll put out a new article, you know, and he still, you know, would think, you know, crazy woman. But anyway, I did a few articles, you know, and just being honest, you know, hopefully, you know, it touches somebody else and, you know, hopefully somebody learns from it. You know, but I kept writing up till late this year. And Paul said something very specific. He said, "You spend so much time writing and nothing is coming back." But for me, I was writing and I wrote to be able to give, you know, and for me, it was trying to connect to somebody else who was going through the same thing. It wasn't so much as profiting through writing. Like that wasn't the whole basis. But anyway, I began writing and a few, about 2 months ago, you know, I said, you know, look for somewhere where you can, you know, get published, you know, your writing can go beyond the blog, you know, and, I went for a job interview at the magazine. You know, I think I spoke to you about this, you know, before, Neighborhood Living Magazine. I went for a job interview and I can remember going with my Bantu knots. If you're not familiar with Bantu knots, Google it, or Zulu knots. You know, and I said a prayer. I said, you know what? I want to go as myself. I'm not comfortable at this, you know, point in my life wearing a wig or a weave. I've been through it and I wore weaves or wigs for more than over a decade. I'm tired of them. So I had Bantu knots on. I went for the interview and, did my interview and I thought whatever would be, right? You know, finished up the interview, came home. I didn't hear from Greg, the publisher. And something crossed my mind. I said, it has to be the hair. I mean, everybody says, you know, if you go with your kings, God knows what would happen. And then I forgot about the interview and I went about my own way. I got approached that same week by somebody else. There's an author that's mentoring me. I go to a work to be mentored. And, you know, next year, you know, I believe we get published. you know, but there were two people that approached me, Greg from the magazine and the author on that same week. You know, I was carrying my Bantu notes. I was blogging about natural hair, and those opportunities opened even with the hair. So it's really important to be self-confident. It's really important to present your way the way you want other people to accept you. You know, and for me, it all comes, you know, down to that. If you keep thinking about what people are going to say, or the fact that you would never get a date because you're wearing your natural hair, or the fact that you would never get a job, or nobody will call you for an interview, you get what you give out. You know, whatever, you feel yourself, or whatever, you know, emotions you're going through. I always say, you know, control your emotions. Don't let them control you. But whatever you give up, you know, some reason the universe brings back to you. And it's really important to think positive and think right thoughts. You know, I don't know whether there's a will, there's a way, but yeah. Never see your hair or never see your hair, you know, speaking about, you know, the concept of hair, never see your hair as a barrier. Because if you do, other people will.
Well, you know what's funny that you just mentioned that is, I remember a few months ago engaging, you and I have a mutual friend, and we were engaging in a conversation with another woman, and she said that the reason why she did not want to wear her hair straight is because she felt because she worked corporately, and being a dark-skinned woman, she would not be perceived as being taken seriously if she had wore her hair naturally. And what I stated back to her is, you are looking at a dark-skinned woman who has, who was the only person in upper-level management that worked for a corporation and was the only woman, an African-American woman, might I add, Afro-Canadian woman, might I add, that worked for a corporation, who was wearing her natural hair and was the only one, and is dark skinned. So I said, I don't want to hear that, because I think that's just nonsensical to make that statement, because if people take you seriously based upon what you project, if you are projecting insecurity, then how do you expect for anyone to take you seriously? Okay. So I kind of had to put her in that place. And then I had another lady say, well, they're not blessed with such long locks. I said, sweetheart, I didn't always have long hair. Okay. I actually had very short hair. Halle Berry short hair. Okay. I actually went, you saw that picture, Yemi, that you saw? I went from that full hair, when I was like young, to me chopping everything off one weekend because I was just tired of that hair, to Halle Berry short. To a lot of black women, they're just like, OMG, why would you do that? Why would you cut off your hair?
For some reason, long hair is valued. It's extremely valued. The amount of effort and energy we place on long hair is unbelievable. And short hair can be just as sexy, just as classy, and just as beautiful.
Yep.
And it, you know, it comes down to the mindset. If you're able to, you know, recondition your mind, you know, to understand that, you know, beauty does not come with the length of your hair, but rather
the person.
The person.
Yep. And you're 100% right. And you know what's interesting, though, is that whenever I have an event, and I rarely ever pull my hair back, but when I actually pull my hair back and put it in a ponytail, everybody talks about, oh, I love it. I love it. And I think to myself, like, well, what's wrong with my hair being down? And then somebody said to me that what they love is that I can see your beautiful face. Okay.
That's a good one.
It's whatever their prerogative. I like my hair down. And maybe I may personally, and I'll be emotionally transparent here with people, maybe a part of why I like my hair down is because there's still a piece of me emotionally that still uses my hair to hide. So I may actually wear my hair down because I can hide behind my hair.
I can completely relate.
Yep.
I can completely relate. There was a point in my life too where the hair, you know, being down, and when I say the hair, I mean a weave.
Yeah.
Because I never really had long and flowing hair. I grew up with the belief some women have long hair. I can never have long hair. You know, it's unbelievable the amount of hair I have on the head. I keep coming back to that because I never believed I had long hair. You know, I have a sister. I have one sister, and she has, you know, really nice long hair. And I would, you know, we would joke and say, both sides of the family. Mm-hmm. She got the beautiful hair. I got the crazy hair. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's amazing the lies you believe. the lies you tell yourself are the lies you believe. It's unbelievable. And for years, that was a lie I told myself. That was a lie I believed until I changed my routine. You know, again, you know, changing my routine in terms of, you know, what I eat, my lifestyle. You know, I drink a lot of water. I eat a lot of fish. I eat a lot of vegetables. You know, I'm very big on the food. And, you know, sometimes we concentrate on what we're buying for the hair. You know, what product can I use?
Well, yeah, and I think in our culture, food is a big factor. Food is a big thing in Black culture.
Yeah, it's a big factor, but you know, not everything in that particular culture is good, especially when it comes to food. And meat of today is not meat of yesterday.
Like, oh, of
I
course. Grew
up in Africa, and you know, a lot of the times the goats are running around, the chickens are running around. The meat tastes differently. Now, would I eat meat when I'm back in Nigeria? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Right. So, but the meat tastes differently here, and it just gets you thinking. And for me, my body, you know, the older I get, I want better choices, especially if I'm living in North America. So for me, I'm safer with the vegetables. You know, I'm not big on being a vegan or a vegetarian.
But Yemi, you're not getting older, love. You are evolving.
Nothing wrong with age. I'm not, I accept it.
Well, you know what's interesting, Yemi? Let's talk about this age thing. Age is something that's deemed in North American culture as being youthful is where it's at. And I don't know about you, and I'm not even going to ask you what your age is. I'm comfortable with stating my age, but I remember being in my early 20s, and I was a mature kid. But as I progressed and I evolved, getting like around 28, and then now being 32, and then getting into my 30s, I was like, what was I ever? I was never afraid. I was actually happy when I turned 30. I was like, yes, this is it. I'm finally entering into a new phase and a new era of my life. And not only that, but just I felt so much more rooted in who I was as a person. And when I think back in my 20s, as mature as I was, when I got closer to 30, I realized, oh, I really don't know anything. I was like, everything that I thought I knew, the entire concept and the percepts just, they completely changed. And I'm thinking now in 8 years, well, I'm going to turn 33 in a few weeks, but I was thinking, I'm like, oh, when I turn 40, how exciting is that going to be? And then you look at French culture and like European culture, they embrace evolution. They embrace people evolving into their own. Whereas in North America, we're always trying to keep people in a childlike state.
I agree. Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. You know, for me, you know, I accept my age. There's nothing wrong with aging as far as I'm concerned or evolving. Like for me, I say I use the term aging because I'm comfortable with getting older.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's inevitable. And, you know, the sooner you accept things that you cannot change, the better for you.
Aging is beautiful.
Like, I think it's beautiful as well. And to be honest with you, I really don't fixate on aging. It's a part of life. For me, it's just simply a part of life. I you know, for me, basically, you know, just, you know, living in North America, like, you know, now I'm settled in Canada, you know, I am from Nigeria, but I'm settled in Canada. And for me, it's just making the right choices because I realize I'm no longer home. You know, I'm no longer back home. Life is not the way it is, you know, back home. And not to say that there's not a lot of great things in Canada, but the food, you know, gets you thinking. If you're not already thinking about what you put into your body, your system, start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things, you know, when you look into pesticides and, you know, fertilizers and, you know, it just gets messier and messier. You know, so for me, it's all about being able to choose right. You know, if you can choose right for yourself. If you have a family, choose right for your younger ones. You know, I look a lot at the younger ones coming. I don't know what, you know, we can probably still do more. What we can really do is being able to teach the younger ones, you know, to choose right. And for me, I concentrate a lot on younger people because they're the future of tomorrow. And if you can teach them now, what better age to teach them now about, you know, choosing right choices when it comes to your cosmetics, when it comes to your hair, when it comes to your food, you know, and, you know, when you learn young, it really doesn't leave you that pledge. You know, maybe it's because I grew up in Africa, you know, we had other problems, like, you know, when we would get water and when electricity was going to come on, there were other issues, you know, that we faced. You know, so, you know, maybe we took the food for granted, but coming to, you know, to Canada and living in Europe, you know, I've had to really think about, you know, my food and my health, you know, and life does put it, you know, it puts it, you know, out there. I can remember a few years ago, you know, finding a few lumps, you know, in the breast area that, you know, it was nothing serious, you know, but finding a few lumps and it had me thinking, you know, about my food. It had me thinking about my deodorants.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, I had to process a lot of things. So I moved into, you know, a safer deodorant. You know, thank God I've not seen, you know, it wasn't anything scary. You know, I haven't seen anything in the last 3-4 years. You know, everything seems to be working well, but I moved into using salt. So I use salt. I blog about it.
You use salt. What type of salt? Like sea salt?
The brand I use is Lass deodorant, and it's salt. And it's a solid piece of salt.
Wow. I would love to find out more information about that. I'm actually looking for a really good, I've tried a few different deodorants.
Believe me, they're not easy to find.
They
are not easy to find. I write about my whole process of people wondering, why do you smell this way? And I'm just very honest. Like, you know, I just find that the more, you know, honest you are, the more personal you are, the more people can relate. So that's why I say stuff like this.
Yep.
So you just can laugh, you know, if you're listening. But, you know, for me, I blog about the entire process of the 1 year of finding something that works. And I've used Lass for the same solid salt for over a year, and it still works.
Yep.
It still works, and it's salt.
And that is, that's what you said about us being personal. That's really it. And that's been, I've just come out and that's why I am the way that I am. And you've seen how I am, in some aspects, but that's why even when I did emotional bear campaign, I will bear my soul if it meant I can only be true to who I am as a person. I cannot be somebody else. And as I stated, what you see is what you get. And if you don't like it, then that's okay. And
yeah, and especially when it can help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole point is, you know, there are a lot of people going through what you're going through. You're not the only one. And sometimes people are afraid to say what they're going through. Sometimes you don't think you're going to find any answers. And when you're able to share something on a personal level, something that you've gone through, I really, really, you know, believe that it does benefit people.
And that's exactly it, is that people are, and you actually hit the nail right there on the head, is people are afraid. And we need to, and that's a part of what my emotional, that campaign was about, is obliterating that fear. When you can see another woman that's bold enough to be bare emotionally on a level, and us not realizing that our emotional intelligence is what affects everything. It is the very thing as to why we do the things that we do. It's actually getting to the root of a lot of the things as to why we do the things that we do and why we wear the masks that we wear. And because it's a part of it is our conditioning, but it even goes deeper than that. A lot of it stems from things that happened to us in our childhood or things that were impressed upon us in our childhood. And we as we evolve as people, we actually may forget about a lot of those things. So it's actually capturing a lot of what happened in our past and unrooting it and walking forward in the authority that we've been given. But Yemi, one of the things I was going to ask you is, where is Shakara Natural Tips going now and especially upcoming in the new year?
Okay, so where we're going is, you know, being able to reach as many people as possible. For me, it's all about networking, about eating with people. That's why I'm having an event in February. You know, speaking about the new year, it's being able to connect, you know, network, motivate other people. You know, and, you know, whoever's listening, we're having an event on February 28th. It's a Thursday. It's happening at Trinity St. Paul United Church at the gymnasium. I can fit about 175 people. Tickets are going really fast. You know, I encourage you to get your tickets, you know, come out, you know, meet with other like-minded people, you know, share, you know, whatever you're going through. You know, so, you know, that's where we're going in the new year. So reach as many people in Toronto, the GTA as possible. You know, there's some people flying in from the States, you know, at the moment. But, you know, the whole basis is being able to reach local women, you know, as many local women as possible and building a community, you know, a community of sharing, community of, you know, of networking. And, you know, I will see how it goes in the first quarter of next year.
Well, I'm so glad that, and I don't know if I've told you this already, but thank you so much for allowing Jay on and Women's Movement Radio Network to be a part of this event. because this is something, your movement is something that I strongly support. And I think that we need to uplift this, and hopefully more and more women will become enlightened and feel more powerful.
And thank you for sponsoring, because I can remember when I pitched you the idea, you were like, yes, I'm on board. It was that easy.
it was really that easy for me. I'm very much one thing that more like for people locally, because I know my international audience, I know all of you listening, you're quite familiar with my personality, but I am a strong supporter. I'm here to empower and uplift women. And that was the basis of why I created JOM, was to provide women with the necessary resources that they need to live exceptional lives in business. And the resources that I have is really for women to tap into. So the radio show is one of those things. And if I can help women reach an international audience, and get a much larger audience, for their products and services, I am all for that. I believe in your movement. I think that this is something that needs to happen more sooner than later. There's still women that are, and why I was talking to you about the relaxing thing, there's still people holding on to old ideologies, not really understanding where those ideologies stem from as to why a black woman perm their hair. And it's even what's sadder is that we even have, it's not even just black women, it's even Hispanic women or even women that are Caucasian.
Across races.
Yeah.
It's a trend that goes various, peoples and, various races. And, the perm madness is unbelievable. It's sad. It's unbelievable because it's very much commercial.
When we have to, really what people should think about, and ladies listening, what you should think about is if you have to change anything about yourself for the motivation, for the simple, if you're doing it, changing something about yourself because you don't like something about yourself, what you are indirectly saying to yourself and to the universe, one, you're saying to the universe, you're not happy with what he created. And two, you're saying to yourself that you really do not love yourself. And it's really as blatant as that. And I'm sorry for those that listen that are offended by that or that think that that's just being too blunt. But that's really what you are saying, is that I'm not good enough to accept myself for who I am. Because I have to be flawed. And that's a part of our conditioning, Yemi, is that we've been taught that because of fundamental traditionalism, is that fundamental traditionalism, I don't care what anyone believes, it permeates through the entire concept within traditionalism, is that I am not good enough, so I need to change something about myself. And depending on where you live in the world, is where it depends on what level of traditionalism exists and how that's permeating throughout a society.
Exactly. And, when we speak about flaws, what exactly is a flaw?
Exactly.
A flaw in inverted commas, even if you do have this flaw, so what? There's always something we're not happy about. Learn to live with it. Stop fixating on flaws, again, in inverted commas, and just accept yourself for who you are. Like, I really believe that, as human beings, we are beautiful people. Like I said, you get what you give out. Whatever energy you're giving out, that's exactly what's going to come back.
And I'm so thankful you said that. I am so thankful that you said that. And Yemi, thank you. I would love to talk to you all day, but I have to.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I would love
just
to talk.
Before you go, I do have some sponsors. I just want to give a quick shout.
Oh, of course. I was actually just going to say that to you, that if there was any sponsors or advice that you would love to leave with the ladies as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So for a celebration of curls happening in February, I wish I could take credit for everything, but I can't. That would just be selfish. There's a lot of people that have come together to make the event a possibility. I'm truly grateful for their support and for them listening to me and for jumping on board. There's Charcoal Beauty and Wellness, Etone Naturals that will both be doing demos, on the day. Then we have Zena Sarawiwa, which is who's a huge UK filmmaker and reporter. She reports on the New York Times. And we will be screening her film. We'll also be screening Kicking It With The Kinks by Cynthia Butari, another UK filmmaker. So it's going to be a really great night.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited myself. There's Non-Toxic Shop from Australia, Curly Hair Solutions, Bobin from the United States, Land of Pure, Tonica Kombucha in Canada, Amazing Botanicals from the US as well, Coco Curls, Shea Moisture. I absolutely love Shea Moisture. But I love all of them. But, you know, there's going to be packed to the max swag bags. You also have Trinity St. Paul that are sponsors as well that have come on board to champion the event. And then, you know, of course, Janet Isontrust as well is supporting. So,
thanks.
You know, no, not at all. So, you know, it's a really great event. There are a lot of great people coming together to make it a reality. Be there. Buy your tickets. Get your tickets now, you know, and that's really the message. And, you know, for me, you know, I would hear a lot about natural hair shows after they have passed. But the reason why I began promoting 6 months in advance was so I could reach as many women as possible. So come out.
For sure. And I am so excited to be there just from hearing every person in that lineup. I am so excited to have met you, Yemi, and to very much be a part and sponsor this event.
I forgot one more person. There's somebody who's doing
That's okay.
There's somebody who's doing live music. I'm Soji Jackson. You know, her voice is breathtaking, you know, and she's also one of the people I, you know, I talked to about the idea, and she said, you know, I'm booking my guitarist, I'm there. You know, just like that. So, big shout out to Soji. Beautiful, beautiful voice. So, you know, come out and, you know.
For sure. Well, on behalf of the ladies listening and myself, Yemi, we want to thank you for being on Women's Movement Radio Show. We hope that you'll come back in the new year and share more of your business, love, and lifestyle with us.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mom's Movement Radio Show on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. with me, your host, Janae Eisenstrass, where we will talk to moms all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle. Join us and be a part of a movement of moms who are changing their lives by force. I'm so thankful we had the wonderful opportunity to speak with Yemi Stephanie today. You know, after speaking with Yemi, it made me think that if our hair could talk, what story would it tell? See, Yemi and I spoke predominantly about our Afrocentric experience with our hair, yet every culture of women has a story to tell about our hair. You know, what causes women to cut and style and heat and press our hair into eccentric shapes and forms that are supposed to be appealing to ourselves and others? It reminds me of a statement my mother would make to me when I was a little girl. And actually, she still makes a statement to me today. Janae, your hair is your beauty. Many women are probably nodding their heads listening to the statement because someone in your lifetime probably told you that too. Well, obviously, where most of us are now, I'd hope you don't believe that statement. Being natural doesn't mean you cannot wear your hair in different styles or play with this organic canvas you were given. But there is something to be said about a person who uses their hair as a mask to hide behind. You heard me share the story about a conversation with a woman who told me that she would not be taken seriously in a corporate office if she wore her hair naturally. You also heard me share my story about being the only Afro-Canadian woman in upper-level management in a corporation of 10,000 who is dark-skinned, Jewish, and in her early 20s, whose parents are not from your typical Caribbean islands. No, no, not Trinidad or Jamaica, but St. Vincent and Aruba. And meanwhile, all of those places are beautiful and all of the things about me are beautiful. For the most part, I felt like I was a walking anomaly. Truthfully, for years, I felt as though people like me really didn't exist, which made me very uncomfortable in my own skin. I can still remember being a four-year-old kid standing in the hallway of our home and asking at that time, you know, the universe or us, as us Jews say, Hashem, you know, why wasn't I someone else and someone else me? Now, for many of you who know my story, you know why I've made some of those statements. But for the longest time, I felt just like Mariah Carey's song, Outside. I always felt as though I was outside peering in on everyone else and their similarities. And obviously at that age, not able to realize that I was similar and unique in my own right. You see, every time I look in the mirror, I see my diversity, especially in the history of my hair. I am unified by my human nature, but glorified with a crown that has been every length, texture, and style. My hair represents the past, present, and future of generations of men and women who came before and are to come. My hair history is versatile, ever-changing, and full of life. Ladies, I want to thank all of you for listening to Women's Movement Radio Show today. I'm your host, Janae Eisenstrass. Join me here on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, ladies, never forget, Be informed, be inspired, be incredibly successful.
See, I can kind of recall a little ways back, small trying to ball, always been black, and my hair, I tried it all. I even went flat, had a gummy curly top and all that crap. Now, was trying to be appreciated, nappy-headed brothers never had no ladies. Then I hit the barbershop real quick, had them give me little twists, and it drove them crazy. I couldn't get no job, corporate wouldn't hire no dreadlocks. Then I thought about my dogs on the block, kinda understand why they chose to steal and rob. Was it the hair that got me this far? All these girls, these cribs, these cars. I hate to say it, but it seems so flawed, cause success didn't come till I cut it all off. Little girl with the pressing curl, age 8 I got a Jerry curl, 13 and I got a relaxer, I was a source of so much laughter. 15 when it all broke off, 18 when I went all natural, February 2002 I went on and did what I had to do, because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. Later, at the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty, got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey, I am not my head, I am not your skin, I am not your expectations, no. With the wave cap and the cops wanna harass, cause I got waves. Ain't seen nothing like that in all my days. Man, you gotta change all this fearance. Maybe judging one another by their appearance. Yes, India, I feel you, girl. Now go ahead, talk to the rest of the world. Cause the way I wear my hair make me a better person. Cause the way I wear my hair make me a better friend. Oh, it's the way I wear my head, determine my integrity. Oh.
You're now listening to WMRN.